Isaiah chapter 43. Now, I hope, friends, you've come without baggage. Did you? Did you leave your worries at home? And your preconceived notions? And your problems? Have you come to hear God's truth? If you left your tiredness at home, Sunday afternoons, mind you, can be a time, can't they? Well, let's seek the Lord and look to Him to really help us. Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to commence to read at verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called unto me, O Jacob, but thou hast been wearied of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. And we know that the Lord is going to bless his own precious word read in our hearing, and we look to him to graciously undertake. Let's bow together, please. Let's just seek the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of the living God. We thank thee, Father, for inspiring holy men to write what they wrote. We thank thee, Lord, that through the Scriptures thou hast made known to us thy perfect will. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast told us that thy word is a fire. Thou hast told us that thy word is a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Thou hast told us, Lord, that it's a sharp two-edged sword piercing to the dividing asunder. We thank thee, Lord, that it's a mirror that we can hold up, and the reflection of it shows what kind of lives we're living. And we ask thee, Father, to bless thy word this afternoon. Bless, Lord, as we turn to the text, and we ask thee, Father, to graciously minister to our hearts. And grant, Lord, that even this afternoon some precious soul might close in with thine offer of mercy and of grace. Lord, help us to preach with expectancy. Help us to believe that our God is able. Help us, Lord, to depend entirely and completely upon thee. Father, we look to thee by thy Holy Spirit to minister. Grant the privilege of being able to hide behind the cross, that none may be seen save Jesus only. And these things we ask, longing and praying and pleading, that his name would be honored, glorified, and uplifted. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse I would like to leave with you this afternoon is verse 25 of the portion. You probably guessed that as we read it. Because the 25th verse says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I would say of all the gracious words that are recorded for us in Scripture, these must take their place in the very first rank. They must take their place right up there at the top. Of course, Isaiah is known as the evangelical prophet or the evangelistic prophet. Many of these verses are found in his prophecy. We've been looking through quite a few of them recently in our own church, and I've had to ask myself the question, why did the Lord reveal such wonderful truths to this man? And surely it could only be because this man was living close to God. This man was living close to God. But you know, before we look at this verse and consider it together, I do want to try and answer another relevant question. And that question is this. What is the big deal? What is the big deal? We read here that God is prepared to forgive us our sins, but does he really care? Does our sin really matter in the sight of God? Does our sin really register in heaven? Does it matter to him whether we're forgiven or not? What effect do our sins have upon him? With that in mind, there are a few verses that I would like just to draw your attention to. But first of all, the verse before our text, verse 24. Because the latter part of verse 24 says, "But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Now, friends, God is speaking here. Let's not forget that. These are words that God himself has spoken. And in this passage, he tells us, and he tells those that Isaiah is writing to, your sins have made me tired. And I recognize that there is mystery here. I recognize there's a lot we do not understand or can fully appreciate, because we realize that God is almighty. God is almighty. He doesn't weary in the sense that we know weariness. There is nothing he cannot do. And I realize that in the mighty works of creation and in the fulfillment of his offices to the universe, God does not grow weary nor tired. But my friends, recorded here for us his own words. He tells us that when humanity sins against him, he is wearied by it. He grows tired of our transgressions. He gets weary of our sin. I would like also to refer this afternoon to Psalm 95 and verse 10. Psalm 95 and verse 10 says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Again, I remind you that those words were spoken by God. They are spoken by the Almighty, and he says to the nation of Israel, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Your sins have not only wearied me, they've not only tired me, but they have grieved me. They have affected me emotionally. And I am grieved with your behavior, and I'm grieved with the way you've acted, and I'm grieved with the things you have done. J.J.S. Perrone, in his commentary, said that the word translated grieved in that verse, Psalm 95, is a very strong word expressive of loathing and disgust. Your sins have caused me loathing. Your sins have disgusted me. Disgusted me. The particular sin, of course, in Psalm 95, verse 10, that the Lord was referring to was the sin of unbelief. Repeatedly throughout the wilderness wanderings, God had revealed his power to the nation of Israel. He had shown it before the Red Sea in the ten plagues. He had shown it at the Red Sea. He had shown it repeatedly in their crossing of the wilderness. He had shown it again in Jordan. Time after time after time, God had revealed his ability. God had revealed his power. God had revealed his purposes for the nation. He was going to bring them out that he might bring them in. They shouldn't have doubted that. But when they came to Kadesh and they were about to cross into the land itself, they sinned the sin of unbelief. And God says that sin just grieves me to the core of my being. I'm grieved by it. I'm grieved by it. Over in Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 9, we read these words. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations whither they shall be carried captive. Because I am broken with their whorish hearts. I am broken with their whorish hearts. Again, I remind you, friends, this is God speaking. God says, your sins have wearied me. God says, your sins have grieved me to the core of my being. Furthermore, he says, your sins have broken me. They have marked me forever. They have marked me forever. Just as a loving, faithful husband is broken when he discovers the unfaithfulness of his wife. Just as godly parents are broken and permanently marked over the rebellion of their child. So the word of God tells us, and God himself says it, that he is broken by the sins of humanity. It marks him forever. And then over in Amos, little prophecy there, one of the minor prophets, Amos chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, behold, I am pressed under you as a cart that is pressed, that is full of sheaves. In other words, God is speaking again. He says, your sins are a burden to me. Your sins are a burden that I don't like bearing. They weigh him down. Particularly the fact that God offers forgiveness to men and women, but they refuse it over and over and over again. And I want you to remember what I've tried to repeat through each of those verses. This is God speaking himself. This is not man speaking out of turn. This is God telling us how it is. And God says, your sins have wearied me. Your sins have grieved me. Your sins have broken and marked me forever. And your sins are a burden that you've caused me to bear. That's the God that cannot lie. That is the God of heaven speaking. That is how the Almighty feels about human transgression and human iniquity. This is what's going on in heaven this afternoon as he thinks of what's taking place on his earth. This is what happens when men omit to do what God tells them to do, and they do what God tells them not to do. This is what happens when men sin in thought, word, and deed. God is grieved and God is wearied. It matters to him that men sin. It matters to him that humanity does what it does. And in the light of what I have said to you, in the light of the effect that human transgression has upon the Almighty, we would expect him to write and say, I am he who will punish sin, and I will put you out of my sight forever. But you know, the amazing thing is that's not what he says. If you glance down at your Bible, if it's open on your knee, to verse 25, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. There's four things I want to briefly refer to. First of all, the marvel of forgiveness. The marvel of forgiveness. You see, King David confessed, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Our sins are committed against God. It's His law we have broken. It's His government that we have undermined. It's His heart that we have wearied. It's Him that we have grieved. My friends, He is broken by our past. It's Him who has to bear our transgressions. But the wonderful thing that the God of heaven against whom we have sinned is the very one who's willing to forgive. The very one who is willing to forgive. The marvel of forgiveness. Let me refer very briefly too to the magnitude of forgiveness. He says there in that 25th verse. And by the way, this is the only thing that's repeated in the verse. He says, "First of all, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions." And He says, "Furthermore, I will not remember thy sin." Friends, it gives me absolute joy and sheer pleasure this afternoon to say that my God is willing to blot out your sins as though they never existed. That my God is willing to forget your sins and to remember them no more. That He's willing to forgive you completely. That He's willing to forgive you instantly. That He's willing to forgive you forever. That he says in His own word, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." And I can remember my father preaching on that message, and he says, "Listen, there's a distance between the North Pole and the South Pole, but there's no distance can ever be calculated between east and west. It's unlimited." And that, my friend, is how far God is willing to remove your transgressions and blot out your sins. And He's willing to put them in the sea of His forgetfulness, and He will never raise them again. The marvel of His forgiveness. The magnitude of His forgiveness. That, my friends, He will take that burden that you bear today, and He will remove it completely. Notice with me, please, the motive for forgiveness. He says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. He says, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing it because of any inherent goodness on your part. I'm not doing it because I'm beholden to you to do it. I'm not doing it because you have earned it or you deserve it. I'm doing it for my own sake. I'm doing this for my own glory, for my own honor, because I love you. My friends, it's a wonderful thought that this whole plan of forgiveness is something that originated in the great heart of God. That which purchased our forgiveness was purchased by God. That the one who makes forgiveness available to our hearts is none other than God Himself. And my friends, there's just a little aside here. When you and I think of forgiveness, when you and I think of our sins being forgiven and blotted out, we remember that it's because of what Jesus Christ did for us upon the middle cross, just as we were hearing in that second message and song. But think about it. God says Himself that your sins weary me. Your sins grieve me. Your sins have marked me permanently. Your sins are a burden that you've caused me to bear. But my friends, one day Jesus Christ took my burden to Calvary. What happened in there? My friends, was any man wearied as He was wearied? As He bent beneath the load of the cross? Was any man grieved as my Savior was grieved, as man's sinfulness was lowered upon His holy soul? The one who had not sinned, neither was sin found in Him. The one who was completely holy and harmless and separate from sinners. The God-man, the man of God, the Son of God. And the sins of humanity, the vileness of the human race was lowered upon Him. How it grieved Him. And he was broken. Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. My friends, if I had the tongue of Chrysostom, if I had the tongue of an angel, I could not describe what Jesus Christ has done for you upon the cross. But he bore my burden to Calvary. And he suffered. And he died alone. We have the marvel of forgiveness. We have the magnitude of forgiveness. We have the motive for forgiveness. My friend, what moved the heart of God to ever offer forgiveness to me? It's because he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, he loved me before I ever loved him. While I was yet a rebel, Christ died for me. There's just one last thought I want to conclude with this afternoon, and that's the moment of forgiveness. The moment of forgiveness. You see, it tells us there in verse 24 at the very end of it, "Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." Your sins are wearisome to me. Your sins have caused me to be tired. Then there is a full stop. And the very next verse, God says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin." That's all there is. There's just a full stop between God saying, "Your sins have wearied me," and experiencing God's forgiveness. There's a moment. There is a point in time. There is a place, my friend. There is an experience. There is a point in time when this experience of forgiveness occurs. Between wearying God with our sins and experiencing God's forgiveness, there's nothing but a full stop. That's all. It doesn't take years. Doesn't take decades or centuries. My friend, it takes a moment. It takes an experience. But what has to happen? What needs to take place in that moment? What is it that makes the forgiveness of God a reality in my heart and in my life? What is it that allows God to say, "I, even I, have blotted out your transgression"? The secret is given to us in verse 26. He says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." In other words, my friends, God wants you to take your burden of sin to him. He wants you to hold up your hand and say, "I'm the one that's responsible. I'm the guilty one. I'm the one in need of this forgiveness. I'm the sinner." There's another verse of Scripture that perhaps puts it even clearer than this. It's over in Proverbs 28 and verse 18, I believe it is. Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy." Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. My friends, God forgives, and that's amazing. God forgives completely. That's unspeakable. And when does he do it? He does it, my friends, when you are willing to confess your guilt. When you're willing to put up your hand and confess the fact that you're the guilty one. And when you tell him that you're sorry, so sorry that you're prepared to leave what you've been doing, that you're prepared to turn your back upon the sins that you've committed. And by his grace, you'll never do them again. When you ask God for Christ's sake to forgive you and to blot out those transgressions. And when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be Savior and Lord. Forgiven in a moment. Forgiven at a point in time. My friend, I would gladly take you this afternoon. About 6 or 7 miles outside of Oman, the Dromore Road. There's a little bungalow on the right-hand side of the road as you head to Dromore. I was there as a boy of 14. I knelt one evening after a gospel service, a mission that was taking place in Shanera Hall, just another 200 yards further down the road. And there, as a boy of 14, born into a Christian home, I recognized my sinfulness, my guilt, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive. You know that lovely hymn, "Sky above is softer blue, earth beneath is sweeter green, something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen." My friend, those words became so real to me that day. I lay on the bunk bed, top bunk, in the boys' room of that bungalow, and I felt as if the choir of angels of glory had descended and were singing, "Peace to my soul." Are you forgiven today? Do you know the forgiving of God in your heart? One of the great blessings that comes to the soul the moment they seek Christ, the forgiveness of sins. Do you know it? Is it real? Have you reached that point? Have you grieved God enough? Do you recognize what you put Him through? Do you recognize that your sins have wearied Him? Aye, your sins have grieved Him. That your sins have broken Him and marked Him permanently. That your sins are a burden that you've caused Him to bear. And will you go to Christ today and from your heart you tell Him you're sorry? You tell Him you're sorry. And what does He say? He says, "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins." Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Will you come this afternoon and will you trust Him for yourself?